Morning, we come to the end of this series of messages on the lives of a group of brothers known as the Sons of Korah. We know already that these guys had it very rough. Their parents led a rebellion against Moses. You can read about that again in Numbers 16. And as a result of that rebellion, their parents lost their lives. And the Sons of Korah would, for a time, as a result of that, be driven out of their community. They would be met with suspicion, right? If your parents were traitors, maybe you might be one too. And they'd be met with rejection as a result of the sins of those parents. But by the time we come to their story this morning, they had made a comeback. Isn't that good to know? Open up your Bibles to Psalm 84, 10 and 11, verses 10 and 11, and then we're going to look at Psalm 87. Psalm 84... 10 and 11. Where it says this. Right? This is them reflecting where they were, right? They had made this comeback. They had been restored. They were back in the service of the temple. This is what they said. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Right? They were home again and they knew the value, intensely knew the value of being part of the family of God again. Being part of the people of faith. Then they go on to say, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tent of the wicked. For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor, and I love this next part. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. And then go over to Psalm 87. Just a little flip, or maybe it's even on the same page. Psalm 87, verse 1. He has set his foundation on the holy mountain. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are said of you, O city of God. And here's what was said. I will record Rahab and Babylon, right? Who are really symbolic and who are the Arab nations. This is an amazing passage of Scripture. I will record Rahab and Babylon, the Arab nations, amongst those who acknowledge me. Philistia too, and Tyre, right, which were the Europeans and the people who lived around the Mediterranean, along with Cush, the African nations. And they will say, this one was born in Zion. Indeed, of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her. And the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord will write in the register of the peoples. Now, included in this register of the peoples in the New Testament, it says, are people from every tribe, language, nation, and ethnic group. Right? All these peoples recorded in this registry of the nations. This is what will be written. This one was born in Zion. Right? Zion is Jerusalem. Zion is God's house. Zion is God's people. As they make music, they will sing, all my fountains, Lord, are in you. Now the sons of Korah, just in writing this psalm, had been given a new perspective. Right? They had been in the pits. They had been in the lowest of low places and they had come out the other side. And we go through those experiences, right? We go through times when we can be down, when we can go through great difficulty, great trials, and great tribulations. And in those situations, if we are going to survive, we need a new perspective. We need God's perspective to rise above the difficulties we may be experiencing. You know, all too often we're like the little girl who's riding her bike down the street. She bumps her head on this low-lying tree branch. Have you ever done that? I did that. I'm a guy, right? I'm a boy. She runs into her house and yells, Mommy, Mommy, Joey hit me. Mom says, Honey, that is impossible. Joey went with your father to the supermarket. He's not even in the house. He's not in the neighborhood. To which the girl says, You mean stuff like that can happen anytime? It can. Our lives can change in an instant. Paul reminded me this week of a news report he heard about Haiti that said in the span of 40, kind of just try to grasp the scale of this, in a span of 45 seconds, over 1 million people were made homeless. 45 seconds. 3 weeks ago, I was in a meeting with, or 2 weeks ago, I was in a meeting with our conference superintendent, and he told me about something that had happened 2 weeks before that. He said he was home with his wife. He was home with Dawn, and they were having a cup of coffee. And they were sitting around their kitchen table, and she started to get a headache, and it got worse and worse and worse. And they went to the emergency room, and within a half an hour of sitting around the table having a cup of coffee, Dave said he found himself sitting behind a plastic curtain while a team of physicians were battling to save Dawn's life. In a half an hour. The good news, they did, right? Dawn's life was saved, and this morning, Dave and Dawn are on a vacation. Isn't that amazing? I'm like, how did they do that so quick? So when you go through times like that, the only way that you make it through those type of experiences is by having, right, a new perspective that is different than what you were experiencing. I know what that's like, personally. Most of you know what that's like, right? You have been sometimes on both sides of that curtain in the hospital, right? You've been the one getting worked on, and you've been waiting for somebody who's on the other side of the curtain. And what takes you through is a deeper perspective on who God is. We desperately need to go deeper in our relationship with God. If your relationship is shallow, you are going to go through those situations and just be blown away. So we need to have a deeper perspective on God. And the sons of Korah found that perspective. They had been through, right, we talked about this last week, the valley of weeping, right? The valley of Baca, right? This valley of bitterness in their life. And they had come through on the other side. And just thinking about their experience, how they were ostracized and they lost their homes and they lost the people that they loved, I'm reminded as I was just thinking about it, the words spoken by Paul in 1 Corinthians 4:7, where he says this, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed." Is Casey still here? Isabella, there's a piece of paper on the chair, which you're going to need to read after my sermon. I hope it's the right piece of paper. Let me see it, because it might be something totally unrelated. That's it. So you can kind of familiarize yourself with it a little bit. Here's some of the things that the sons of Korah can teach us, right, as we go through these tough times. First, through their difficulties, they developed through the things that they went through this new perspective on themselves. They weren't just the sons of Korah anymore. They weren't just the bad seed of those despicable parents who had rebelled against Moses. Something had changed. They weren't just the product of bad parenting, a poor environment, an unforgiving society, or a bad school system. Right? All the things we like to make excuses with ourselves with. All those things may be true, but don't let anyone define you by those things. Don't define yourself by those things. The sons of Korah learned, and we need to learn, that we are part of a new community, right? In Christ. We are part of God's family. We are a son or a daughter of the King. We need to allow these truths to just permeate our being. Peter said, once you were a stranger, an outcast, but now you are one of God's people. God loves you. You know what it says? His delight, the God of the universe, says His delight is in you. I don't understand that, because I don't always feel that way about me. But Scripture says that His delight, He enjoys us. I guess like we enjoy our kids. You enjoy Barnabas, right? Even when he does messy things, you still enjoy him. If God has accepted you, Casey's back. I don't know which one of you is going to read. I didn't know where you were. Are you ready? So unless something happens to Casey, you can play back up. If God has accepted you, who are you to say anything different? You know, this is one of the most popular first lady in the last 50 years. You know who she's been? I mean, after she's been in office a few years. Probably Michelle Obama is, like, really up there right now. But after, like, serving a term in office, who is the most popular first lady, do you think, in the last 50 years? Who? No. Barbara Bush. Statistically, people love Barbara Bush. Barbara Bush was Bush 1, right? The first Bush's wife. Barbara Bush was famous for her acceptance of who she was. It's true. She liked who she was, and she was kind of confident in that and in her role as first lady. And this is something she said once, and I loved it. On comparing herself to her predecessor. Anybody know who her predecessor was? Nancy Reagan. Okay. Nancy Reagan was a former Hollywood starlet. Like, when I looked at her, she just looked like an older lady, right? Nancy Reagan had it going on. That's not in my notes. So Nancy, you know, that's a big thing to follow. And Barbara said this, Barbara Bush, not my wife, Barbara Bush said this, in comparing herself to Nancy Reagan. Nancy adores her husband. And so do I. Nancy fights drug abuse. I fight illiteracy. Nancy wears a size 3. My leg is a size 3. Isn't that great? Whatever size you are, however much hair you have or don't have, whether you are the son of an Oxford scholar or a Polish working class lathe operator, which is pretty cool. Positive mental and spiritual health begins with a new perspective on who you are and who God is making you to be in Jesus. It begins by just starting to accept who God has made you. Secondly, the sons of Korah teach us we need to have a new perspective on our worth in the kingdom and in society and in God's church. The sons of Korah weren't delivered by God from the pit to become pew potatoes. Right? You know what a pew potato is, right? It's like a couch potato. Right? You just sit and watch TV all the time. God just doesn't want us to sit. You have something to add to the world and to society and to the kingdom of God. God has given you a job to do. In Psalm 84, they'd say, right, I'd rather be a doorkeeper, man. I just want to open and close the doors on Sunday morning than to dwell in the tents of wickedness and have it all. But they were more than doorkeepers, right? They're in the Bible. 12 of their Psalms are in the Bible. You know, I used to read these Psalms and attribute them to David. Some of their Psalms. And they're some of my favorite Psalms. And then they're from the sons of Korah. They were songwriters. Musicians. You know what? The New Testament says everyone has been given a spiritual gift by God for the common good. The only problem I have with that is I have never met a believer in Jesus Christ who only has one spiritual gift, as I've gotten to know them. God gifts us in multiple ways. Everyone has something to offer. It might be teaching or preaching or showing mercy or prophecy or healing or helps or being a greeter or caring for the church grounds or being an evangelist, although we're all supposed to share our faith whether we're gifted as an evangelist or not. As I read the New Testament, I can identify over 21 spiritual gifts. Some people say there's only 8 or 9. Except I can identify 21 things in the New Testament that are identified as spiritual gifts. They are listed in 3 different places, mostly. There's some other references. But they're listed in 3 different areas in the New Testament, which tells me, and the lists are kind of interesting because they're different. Some overlap, some don't. Which tells me that the gifts, when they're listed in the New Testament, to me as I read that, are more illustrative than exhaustive. What does that mean? I just said I could identify 21. You might have gift 22 or 23. I believe that with all my heart. People have unique things to offer God in their lives. Listen, the only way our church is going to accomplish what God wants us to do is if everyone does their part. Right? We all have something to add. Now, the sons of Korah were pretty important, right? 12 psalms. Pretty big. But you're just as important around here. In case you haven't noticed, the sons of Korah haven't lived to be 2,200 years old. There's a community that needs to be reached for Jesus. Right? The only way that community is going to be reached is if we do it together.